Jeremiah goes to Washington. This is part two. I began in Jeremiah 1, reading what God said to Jeremiah, and then what Jeremiah was to take to the Israel people to preach to them God's word to this nation in rebellion. And I chose that title because we take this same general message to the men in civil government in the nation, and you should do the same thing. The message is literally, America is sinning against God, and God is bringing judgment on America. That is the whole sermon in a nutshell. So turn to Jeremiah 1, and we read this in verse 14 and 15. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. So God was calling an alien army against the nation of Judah for their sins. And I want to emphasize that because we are in the same position today. God is not striking us dead for our sins with lightning. God is bringing an enemy against us for our sins. And that's why it seems as if every time we turn around, the so-called enemy is more powerful and we are weaker. Yes, I understand treason in our own government. I understand the desire of the Bolsheviks to conquer the world. But after all, it is God Almighty who has the power here and who is allowing those things to take place. In Jeremiah 2, God rebukes his people. And he said, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine inheritance an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So they defile God's land even after he blessed them. And God has done well by us. He has given us the best land on earth, and he has blessed us above all people upon the face of the earth. And what have we done? Like our fathers in ancient Judah, we have defiled the land, and we have turned away and we've polluted God's heritage. Verse 9, Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. No instantaneous destruction, but judgment to come over several generations, just as we see it happen to us now. And at least two of the reasons for that we can transpose onto America is that our people do not read God's word and our ministers do not preach God's word. In spite of all the religiosity that we seem to have in the nation, it simply is not true that God's word is being preached to our people to any great extent. Let's go on. Verse 10. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. And here's what Israel was to look to see if this had actually happened. Verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Chittim and Kedar were cities of the Canaanites and the Philistines, and they worship idols. In other words, they worship no gods. And God says to Israel, you go to the heathen and look at them, do they change their gods? The answer is no, and they still don't. They're very faithful to their gods, and yet Israel, which was given the truth of the one true God and had the true religion and had been blessed by God above all people for following that truth, they changed their gods. Even the heathen didn't do that. Just think of that. And here we are in this nation worshiping the one true God in our founding, and like ancient Israel, less than three centuries later, we have turned and were worshiping no gods, the gods of the heathen, if you please. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Of all the people of the earth, we're the ones that have changed our God. And yet we've got the knowledge of the one true God in millions of Bibles. Verse 12, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hid them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What have they done? They have built some of the most fantastic religious organizations in the world, and yet the Word of God isn't there. There's no water there. And I have a newspaper article. It seems as if the news media provides me these things whenever I'm preparing a sermon. This is from yesterday's paper on the religious section, titled, Religious Broadcasters Feed Good News in Statistics. Washington, by the Associated Press. Collectively, they are known as the Electronic Church, and by any measure, their power is growing. To the chagrin of some established religions, ministers who use radio and television to preach their message now claim a weekly audience of more than 129 million. They are using an estimated $600 million worth of television time alone this year. Now I ask you, is all of that improving the nation? Are our people being turned from their sins? Is the nation being cleaned up? You'd have to answer in the negative. The more religious preaching we have, and think about this, 200 years ago, when America was largely a Christian nation, many of the communities only heard preaching when some man on a horse got on a horse and rode for days to get there to preach to them. And our people were more righteous then than they are today, when we have electronic inventions that put one minister in 10 million homes at one time. What's wrong? Something is wrong with the preaching. Something is wrong with the preaching, because God knows the preaching is being done, if that's what you want to call it. Turn to Jeremiah 23. I won't read the whole chapter. You should. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, saith the Lord. And the whole chapter is a condemnation of the priests in Israel. Verse 13, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, and that was the northern ten tribe house of Israel. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Who was causing the nation to follow error? The clergy. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. Now, we have had, literally, traitors in the executive branch of our national government for several generations. They have betrayed this nation. They have destroyed our defenses and military capability. They have sent to our enemies everything they can get their hands on, from grain to computers, to build up our enemies. And what does the clergy do? It praises them. Billy Graham has told millions of Americans what a great religious man Lyndon Johnson was. And he told you what a great religious man Richard Nixon was. And they didn't even dare play Richard Nixon's tapes, because he's so filthy mouthed you couldn't play it over a radio station for people to hear him. And yet Billy Graham was telling him, you have wonderful Christian men in government. I have a Christian publication that wrote a half-page article on Burt Lance when President Carter first appointed him in charge of the money of the nation and the treasury. And they said, Christians can sleep well tonight, since we now have another born-again Christian in charge of your money. And, of course, a few months later, they discovered the man was doing all sorts of things in the banking business, including transferring funds to his friend Jimmy Carter, that apparently were used to elect Jimmy Carter to the presidency. Christian publications telling you Christians, don't worry, you've got wonderful people in your government. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Jerry Falwell, who is now one of the largest purchasers of television time, consistently tells his listeners, and these are some quotes, "America is blessed because God has chosen America to protect the Jews. As long as America blesses the Jews, God will bless America." Now, the strange thing about that claim is that if you read your newspapers, you know the exact opposite is the truth. 250 years ago, when our Christian forefathers refused to even allow Antichrist Jews to live among them, God blessed them. Today we have millions upon millions of Jews in America. Tens of thousands of them edit our daily newspapers, and they write almost all radio and television news. Thousands of them make all of our movies and television shows. Almost the entire top positions in the present executive branch of the United States government are Jews, except for Jimmy Carter himself. Jews are our doctors, our lawyers, and our judges. They are our textbook writers, and they direct all federal programs from education all the way through integration and disarmament. Half of all foreign aid is divided among 90 nations. The other half goes to Jewish-occupied Palestine. Golda Meir said a few years ago, "America is the best friend the Jews have in the world." And yet what is happening to America? Take a look at it. Corruption and sin and iniquity and every wicked thing that is destructive to this nation is increasing. Somebody better tell God that if he's going to bless us for blessing the Jews, he better get at it, because he isn't doing it. Something is wrong with what they're telling us. And that literally is the message of a good share of America's ministers. The Jews are God's chosen people. You better bless the Jews or God will curse you. And the more we do for the Jews, the worse off we get. Something is wrong. In verse 21, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." And then listen to this. "But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." You do not have to analyze what is being preached in America to prove it's unscriptural. The physical evidence of what is happening to America proves it. God said, if the ministers preached my word, they would turn my people from their wicked ways. And our people are not being turned, so the clergy isn't preaching the word. 2 and 2 equals 4. In verse 13 it said, "I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err." Now getting back to this idea of doing what we should, or doing things for the Jews and then we'll be blessed, I wonder if they've ever read the second epistle of John, where I read this from verse 8 through 11. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," in other words, this doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, "and they bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now, Jews who deny Christ and work against him and blaspheme his name every day are antichrist according to the plain word of God, and we're not to have anything to do with them, not even invite them into our house. They should not even be allowed in our nation. And yet instead of that, what do we have? We have a whole clergy not telling us to obey God's law and be blessed, but telling us to do good by the Jews and be blessed. I wonder how long it'll be before the ministers start telling the Christian people they should go to Las Vegas and play the gambling machines and be customers of the Jewish houses of prostitution in order to bless the Jews. The Jews have been traditionally the kidnappers and destroyers of white girls and forcing them into what is called white slavery. They have done this in every nation and every clime until finally the people run them out of the land. And yet the ministers are standing up for them in this nation. They are destroying our people. And they tell us, well, you'll be good to the Jews and then God will bless you. I wonder if they think we can let Jewish doctors abort 1 million of our children every year and then turn around and do some good for the Jews and God will bless us. It won't happen. It isn't happening. The visual evidence of what is going on in the nation proves there's something wrong with the doctrine that we'll be blessed if we bless the Jews. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Here we have some history of Israel. Jehoshaphat is the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, a very righteous king. King Ahab is the king of the northern 10 tribes and a very wicked king. Jehoshaphat made the error of helping his fellow Israelite, a wicked Israelite, in a battle. The wicked Israelite was killed, and then Jehoshaphat went home. And listen to this. 2 Chronicles 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now here is an Israelite who helped a fellow Israelite who was a wicked king, and the scripture tells us God's wrath was on the righteous man for his helping the wicked. What do you think is our situation when we as a nation and as a people and as churches help ungodly, non-Israelites, people who blaspheme the name of God every day, such as the Jews do? Turn to Jeremiah 2 again, verse 13. We read in chapter 23 of the fault of the clergy. Let's read this verse again. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Who is really at fault? The people. The ones who give them the $600 million every year to buy television time to lie to them. So after all, it comes right back to the individuals themselves, does it not? Verse 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he foiled? We read at the dedication of this little baby earlier that Israel was God's firstborn son. Israel is not a servant. Israel is not a slave. Then why are our people being robbed and spoiled? 25% of your earnings are taken from you in taxes. 25% of your earnings go to pay interest on your debts. 25% of it goes to inflation and other types of robbery from you. Why? Because we're good to the Jews? Or because we're violating God's laws? God's law forbids interest on money, and as far as I know, there isn't 30 preachers out of the 300,000 in this nation that preach that. Pastor Record and I may be the only two ministers on American radio that tell us that our money system is an abomination in the sight of God. It robs and plunders the people and makes the billionaires rich, and it's a sin and transgression of God's law. And you have read, and I know I have read, many articles in Christian publications telling you to come buy the church bonds and the church will pay you interest to help build their religious monstrosities. So they take tithe money and give it back to you and make you a partaker of that sin. And we don't even know we're robbing God when we do such things. Every nation, of course, has this same money system. They operate not on money, they operate on debt. And in a matter of a few generations, all the wealth and property in the nation is transferred from the hands of the producers into the hands of the moneylenders. And it's a violation of God's law, and we do not even know it. Verse 15, the young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Now you say, well, America's cities aren't without inhabitant. Well, take a look through the center of some of America's cities someday. Try to find the people of our race in the center of our major cities. Where are they? They're not there. They come in, many of them, to work there in the daytime, and after 6 o'clock at night, all you find is colored Asiatics, aliens to our race. In some of the cities, like New York, especially Brooklyn, I understand there are blocks of houses and apartment buildings, all gutted and burned out. Nothing there. A wasteland. It looks like a war. Cincinnati, Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, same thing. Cities without inhabitants. It's happening, and yet because the news media doesn't take pictures of it and show you, you don't know unless you actually go there. We drove through St. Louis, downtown St. Louis, or near the downtown St. Louis, I think it's about 12 years ago. Block after block of boarded up homes where the Negroes had been in there and torn them all apart. There was nothing they could do but board them up. One of the largest so-called low-rent housing projects in the United States was built in St. Louis. Negroes lived in it for 10 years, and they destroyed it to the extent they had to move them out of there, and they actually had to demolish the building. In fact, it was shown on national television when they blew the whole thing up. The windows were gone, the plumbing was gone, the elevators didn't work. They used the hallways and the stairways for bathrooms, and they finally had to move them out of there. What is happening? Cities without inhabitants. Our people are being driven out of our own cities, and we can't even see it. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. Also, the children of Noph and Tehapanes have broken the crown of thy head. Now, I'm, of course, relating this to America, as you realize. At that time, the king of Judah had made a treaty with Egypt, hoping to use Egypt to forestall the Babylonian captivity, and instead the Egyptian armies came against the Judah kingdom and fought them. We have gone all over this planet and have tried to make treaties with various nations to help us, and what are they doing? They take our money, our foreign aid, and when the time of war comes, they side with the enemy. The same thing that happened to ancient Israel. Verse 17, hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? That is the message America needs. The things that are coming upon our nation are coming for one reason. We have forsaken the God of Israel and turned away from his word. If we followed God's word, these enemies could never stand against us. And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? And what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? This is Bible symbolism. God was condemning Judah for following the ways and customs of Egypt and of Assyria. And that's what we're doing. We're changing our whole government and religious structure to be like the heathen. Instead of English common law pertaining in our nation, we're now following the law of the alien. In fact, they even have Russian professors that they bring to America to teach our students in our schools. How many of you know that? To teach us the way they do things in Russia. I lived in Minnesota some years ago when a former governor of ours was appointed Secretary of Agriculture by John F. Kennedy. His name was Orville Freeman. And one of the first things that Orville Freeman did was take a delegation from America to go to Russia to study how they raise crops to bring it back here and tell us how to run our farms. And you know what they're trying to do with American farms today? They're trying to destroy all the small farmers so they can put our farmers in what? In collectives like they have in the Soviet Union. We're doing things the way of the heathen, and God rebukes them. What do you have to do to go to the heathen to find out how to do things? I have given you my word, I've given you the truth, I've given it everything that can bless you, and you won't have it. Instead, you go to the heathen, and we're doing that. We can't even find secretaries of state unless we find aliens. Henry Kissinger. His parents were born in Russia, Russian Jews. They were run out of Germany in the 1930s because they were members of the Communist Party. And he comes over here, isn't even a native-born American, and becomes the guider of all of our security and all of our national defense. and has betrayed and literally destroyed everything that could save America from that method, military or whatever. Why? We go to the heathen, we go to the Antichrist, and we ask them what we should do. What will happen? Verse 19. Thine own wickedness will correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. We violate God's law on marriage, and our families are being destroyed. We violate God's laws on crime and criminal punishment, and crime is increasing. We violate God's economic laws, and debt and poverty is our lot. We violate God's laws on foreign policy, and aliens are taking over and ruling this nation. Our own ways, our own wickedness is coming back upon us, and apparently that is what is going to correct us. It's going to get so bad, including this thing, and don't misunderstand me, when Pastor Emery speaks out against the drafting of women, I have no real hope that we'll stop the drafting of women. They will draft your girls into the military service. We're not going to stop it. All I'm going to be able to do is to teach our people, or whoever will listen, that it's a violation of God's law, and it'll bring further condemnation upon us. But we won't obey God's laws. We won't even have His Bible in our schools where we train our young children. In fact, we hardly have it in the churches anymore. And just recently, under the guidance of our so-called born-again Christian president, the chaplains in the military service have been told they're not to use the name of Jesus Christ when talking to soldiers and to talk to them about sin and salvation. And many of the better chaplains, of course, are getting out. I believe there's an article in this morning's paper, I just saw the headline, about the chaplains, that many camps and so on do not have chaplains for the men in the service. Verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. God broke the bonds of Israel in Egypt. God delivered Israel 6 times, according to the book of Judges, from alien and heathen rule. He has delivered Israel over and over. Under David and Solomon, He had made them the marvel of that part of the world. And a few centuries later, what had they done? They were patterning their government and their society after the heathen, just as we are doing today. I had an article from a newspaper, and I couldn't find the exact one this morning, but our brethren in England are having the same problem with the alien and the heathen that we have, except their aliens are increasing faster. And the newspaper article was from an English newspaper where the whites were the minority in the school, and they were considering teaching the young English white children Pakistani, because most of the students in the school spoke Pakistani, and it was easier to teach the whites that than it was to teach them something else. In reference to the cities, these are English cities. Listen to this. England's overall population dropped by 17,000 last year due to the number of white moving out in disgust over immigration and welfare state programs, which confiscate much of the workers' earnings. Still, the coloreds already in the country are bearing children at a rate 3 times higher than white couples. In 6 London boroughs, more than 50% of all births were colored. These are Brent, 65% colored birth, Haringey and Kensington Chelsea with 57%, Westminster, Ealing and Hackney with 50%. London boroughs with between 40 to 50% colored births last year are Hammersmith, Newham, Camden, Islington, Lambeth, and Wandsworth. Thus we see England's so-called multiracial society turning into a colored majority society. So our brethren in England are having the same thing happen to them that is happening to us. We are being outnumbered and invaded by aliens coming into our land. God told Judah He was going to bring these aliens against them. You know who really has broken down the immigration barriers to America? You thought it was Jimmy Carter and Richard Nixon, didn't you? No. God Almighty. A judgment on us for refusing to obey His word. That's a hard thing to understand. for our people. Verse 21, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? God planted this country, America, with Christian people, using his Bible for both church and government, and we have turned into something else. He planted it a ripe seed. Now, many of our young people, of course, don't even know that history of the Christian planting of America. They just think we were a bunch of immigrants and aliens who came over here. And yet, at the time of the Revolutionary War, 75% of the ministers in America were of Scotch descent. That should tell you something. 75%. At the time of the Revolutionary War, there weren't enough Catholic priests in this nation to conduct Catholic services outside of the city of Baltimore. The Catholics in New York and other places had to travel for days to find a Catholic priest. America was white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant Israel. No wonder they attempt to destroy and belittle us. I wonder how many of these men who helped plant this ripe seed, what would happen if Brewster and Captain John Smith and William Penn and Benjamin Franklin and Daniel Webster came back today and saw America? They would see literally no points of similarity in our government. They would attend our churches and probably would be amazed at the little bit of God's Word that they actually hear preached from the pulpit. Instead, we're being told, oh, love everybody, we're all just like anyone else. We're a bunch of Gentiles. God's law has been put away. Don't worry about things. You're going to heaven in a few days anyway. And all the false things that destroy our people. I read that in Jeremiah 2 and verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. I'm going to go on in Jeremiah for a little more next week, God willing. But if there's anything that I can get you to remember, that in spite of everything that Pastor Emery says against the Antichrist and against Lyndon Johnson and against Billy Graham and against Richard Nixon, the problem is not really with those people. The problem is with God's people, with us. Because God has said these things could not happen if we took hold on his word. And if we refuse to obey his law, these things would happen. So who is the culprit? Is it the Mexicans who come across the border trying to earn more money so their families can live better? No, not at all. It's God's Israel people who were established here and have turned away from God Almighty and have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God willing, we'll continue next week in Jeremiah. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we pray for thy mercy. Lord God, open the eyes of thy people. Father, help us to mend our ways, to read and study the word, to realize that we have broken the bonds of the covenant, yet thou art a merciful God and a just God. Father, help us, each of us, to be thy true sons and daughters and witnesses unto thy great truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.